thankful again for God's mercies to us. He's truly been good to me. So I have a little question to start off with this morning. And thinking of literal physical warfare, can you think of any positions or tactics where everyone just stands? It sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Typically, when you think of warfare and you think of different positions and tactics that they use, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of exertion. There's a lot of work. You name it, effort put forth. And to ultimately conquer the enemy, defeat the enemy. But for someone just to stand is a rather unusual way, unusual tactic. Probably not very smart to do that all the time. But I want to read a set of scriptures here this morning. And I'll turn our minds in a spiritual sense of where standing is actually very effective in warfare. So I want to turn and read Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Again, these are some familiar scriptures here. Ephesians 6, I'm going to read verses 10 through 18 here. It says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So if you noticed, the word stand was mentioned three times, or you could say withstand is another one, the fourth, but three in particular, verses 11 and 13 and 14, mentions the word stand. It doesn't mention that you are running or that you are jumping or that you are swinging your fist or that you're, you know, doing all these things. It's we're standing. So I want to write the title on the board of my thought this morning. So I've written on the board, "Standing Our Ground in Spiritual Warfare." So thinking of these scriptures that we just read, I want to, there's so much we could cover, and I'm going to try to just pick a few things here. One in particular is I want to focus on verse 11 to begin with, and I want to dissect that verse a little bit. So Ephesians 6 and 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So when we think of this scripture, actually these whole set of scriptures we just got through reading, it's basically Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Lord, encouraging us to be active in our daily spiritual preparation and using the divine sources that have been made available. There's many of them. We're going to cover a few of them here, the truth, the faith, the word. To resist temptation in the spiritual warfare and spiritual attacks, and the fact that we are relying upon what God has provided and not what we can garner up ourselves. And again, as mentioned in verse 10, it says, in the power of his might. It's not in the power of our might or someone else. It's in his might, okay, that we're fighting. So now I want to dissect the scripture a little more. The first phrase, put on the whole armor. You know, that means if you're putting something on, you're very intentional. Just like with the clothes that we chose to put on this morning for church, we maybe look in our closet, you had to be intentional, make a decision. Okay, that's what I'm going to put on. That's what we put on. So it says, put on the whole armor. You're being intentional. You're choosing to put on God's armor. And here's the thing. It's not just one or two pieces, but we're putting on all of God's armor. Okay? So let's consider that, too. That's all of God's armor. Not just what is convenient, what's at hand. They're like, oh, I'm just going to pick this one up. This will be good enough for now. But it's choosing to put on all of God's armor. Now, having said that, the devil would love to overwhelm us a bit and say, you know what? That's a lot of stuff to be putting on. You remember a little story of little David when he was fighting Goliath and he went to put on all the armor that the rest of the soldiers were putting on? It was too much. It's like it was just weighing him down, you know? But, you know, the devil would come to us in a spiritual sense. And we're wanting to put on all of God's armor. And he's like, oh, that's just, you can't handle all that. That's too much. You know, just try one piece or something. But, you know, that's, again, a tactic of the devil to try to discourage us, to distract us. And like, what is scripture says, all of God's armor, not just pick and choose what we want. All right. So I want to move on to this second portion of that phrase. It says, put on the whole armor and then of God. I want to focus on that part because this armor is not man-made. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. No one else made it. The disciples didn't make it. Apostle Paul that wrote this, he didn't make it. God's the one that made this armor, all right? He's the one that made it. He's the one that owns it. It's not our own intellect. It's not our own goodness. This is something that God provided, okay? And it's something that he provided. It's something that we did not produce, okay? Again, it's not man-made. It's his truth. It's his righteousness. It's his peace, his faith, his salvation, his word of God, all right? And that's all that's covered in these scriptures here. So to take this a step further, it's not our own works either. You realize, Apostle Paul, there was a lot of things that he was tempted, no doubt, to lean upon his own understanding, his own intellect, his works. There was a lot of works, but he chose not to lean upon those, okay? And to think of it this way, as I mentioned earlier, we aren't the ones that is producing this armor. God's the one that has produced it. And if God supplies the armor, then guess what? It's my job, it's your job to pick it up and use it. It's there. It's available to all of us. And what I love about this is this armor also fits all of us. In other words, God knows how to fit it to us and to apply it to our own personal lives through the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. Now, this next phrase I want to talk about, that you may be able to stand against. So the goal is for us to have a stability or defense against the devil, okay? To stand firm. Again, not constantly thrashing about, fighting, just swinging haphazardly, just trying to do anything and everything, just making a commotion. That's not effective. But it's to stand firm and against the wiles of the devil, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But it's standing the ground in what we believe in. Standing firm in what we know God has already done for us. What the plan of salvation is already provided. All the armor is already provided. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. God has given us life and breath. God has done all these things. He's provided all these things. It's up to us then to seize the opportunity to pick those things up, so to speak, and to use them. Okay? And when we do that, Well, think about it this way. Standing is not striving. Just think about that. When you're standing, again, you're not bickering and fighting and squabbling and doing all these little things. You're standing your ground. And what you believe in, what you have confidence in, and you have confidence in God's armor, that it will protect you. It will help defend you against the wiles of the devil. Okay? So again, it's standing our ground. Standing firm, again, in our spiritual warfare. And this last phrase, part of the phrase, against what? The wiles of the devil. There's a lot going to be said about this. And I'm just going to touch on it briefly. But I want to say it this way. The devil, he's very calculated in his strategies. Think about that for a little bit. You know, in literal warfare, there's a lot of strategies going on, calculating, predicting what, you know, the opponent may do and how to maneuver. And to think of it this way, the devil, we know that he is a master deceiver. He tries to trap us into, or trick us into thinking or doing or whatever, something that we wouldn't normally do. And he's usually, again, through his means of deception, he's usually not directly confrontational. Because that would be too easy. Just to show his face, and his ugly face, so to speak, and he just attack and does this and this. And like, oh, wow. But rather, he likes to sneak around. You've heard the saying, you know, like a snake in the grass. Sneak around, doing things, being crafty, deceptive, trying to trap us, doing all these different things. But what that challenges us to do is to be more spiritually aware and watchful and vigilant. And at the same time, that we take this armor and put all this armor on, okay? To realize we all have to be protected from head to toe. And that's what the armor covers. Again, it's being prepared with God's provisions. He's the one that has provided all these pieces of armor for us to use. Again, it's up to us to use it. So, the question is, what all did God provide? We just read the scriptures earlier. He provided everything necessary to enable us to stand our ground in this spiritual warfare. He provided all that for us, all the armor. And this morning, I just want to cover three of them. Now, I'm not going to try to cover all of them. There's so much we could go into, but I want to start with one of them in verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So I want to talk about truth just for a little bit. There's something about truth that the longer I live, the older I get, the more I find there's so much to truth. There's so much, so many different ways you can apply it and understand it. But I want to say this, that we have to be patient in allowing truth to prevail. In other words, in our own strength and understanding, sometimes we want to jump to conclusions, or we want to jump into action to try to defend the truth. But folks, the reality is, truth will defend itself. We don't have to defend the truth. Just give it some time, give it some space. Remember the example in the New Testament, I believe is in Acts there, with Gamaliel and Peter and the different ones, the leaders there in the church. They were being threatened. You need to stop preaching the gospel. And Peter's like, I'm not. No, I'd rather obey God than man. I'm like, this is what I want to do. He's like, I'm just going to keep preaching. And Gamaliel, one of the Jews there that was opposing them, or with the elites there, he had some words of wisdom. And remember what he said. He said, you know what, just let him be. He's like, if this work be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. And what he was saying is, truth is going to prevail. And you know, that is so true even yet today, that truth will prevail. It'll stand on its own because it's of God, all right? And there's other things that we have to guard against. As we all are well aware of, there's all kinds of false religions and winds of doctrines and different things that have been blowing about for centuries and decades. It's nothing new, a lot of it. And here's another thing, speaking about truth. Part of truth is also being sincere and honest with ourselves. In other words, being open to God, speaking to us, and revealing things to us that apply to us personally. You understand what I'm saying? We're not talking about, oh, I'm going to create my own truth. That's not what we're talking about. It's God's truth, but how does God's truth apply to me personally? And us being open to God and inviting Him to search me and to reveal things to me personally that would allow me to correct and to alter my life in a way that's pleasing to Him, okay? So that's being truthful and sincere within ourselves. And I'm going to take this a step further. That when we invite Him to search us, and we invite Him to reveal things to us, that we not be offended by it. And here's a scripture to back that up. Psalms 119:165 says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law," or thy truth, "and nothing shall offend them." Thank the Lord. Now I want to skip over a couple of them. I'm going to skip over the righteousness and the peace, and I'm going to move on to faith. And this one is a big one here. But in verse 14, it says, I'm sorry, 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So let's talk about this for a little bit. I first want to say, Lord, help us that our faith in God doesn't fail. But we don't give up. I know Satan has ways of tempting us and whispering to us to try to get us to give up and to just, I don't believe in God anymore. Satan may not be so direct as to do that, but he'll tempt us in different ways to try to chip away at our faith. But I'll say this, one thing that I remember the older ministers, not just the ministers, just anyone that lived for God for decades, the words from the wise would say it this way, that the more you exercise that faith, the more it's going to grow. And it's going to be harder for Satan to chip away at it. But we have to exercise our faith, okay? Be willing to step out on His promises. Be willing to allow God to, as I mentioned earlier, speak to us in ways that maybe we're afraid to go there, so to speak. But yet, Lord, we don't want to be offended in You. Lord, we want that peace. We want to be found whole in You, okay? So, now I want to go to talking about these fiery darts. So, a little bit of background. In physical warfare, they would, a lot of times, if they wanted more mass destruction, they could dip the tips of their arrows in pitch or tar and light it on fire, or maybe some type of fabric, and soak it in a fiery liquid or flammable liquid or whatever, but something to get flames at the end of the dart, the arrow, and to shoot the arrows. And when they hit their mark, to add a little fire to it, obviously. More destructive. And so these fiery darts, spiritually speaking, the things that we can face, there's a lot of things that Satan will hurl these fiery darts at us. Just on a generic level, we could say it could be, but some of these can be quite serious, whether it be our health, your marriage, your children, your family. Maybe it's your job, your finances, maybe concerns about the church or condition of our nation, the world situation, all those things. And those can be fiery darts, all right? I think we all can definitely relate to that. But I want to go just a level deeper. You realize that fiery darts can also be intrusive thoughts. For example, old accusations. Has the devil ever used that trick on you before? Something he was used to accusing you about for years, and God gave you the victory over that, and Satan was defeated, and it seems like everything's going great, but then all of a sudden something comes up, and those old accusations pop up again. Those are some fiery darts. And those accusations can feel really real and damaging, okay? Here's some more things. How about emotional flashbacks? You ever had those too? Where it's just kind of like you can almost be paralyzed with something because you saw or read something that reminded you of something else, and a sensation goes over you that can just deplete you or can get you fired up or whatever. It's just like, oh, wow. All right? Emotional flashbacks. And here's another thing. Maybe sudden spikes of guilt. You know, Satan loves to use that too. Even if we aren't guilty, but just to make you feel guilty or shame for something. It's like maybe you weren't even at fault of something, but yet the devil tried to use it in a way where it just pops up. You're like, oh no, I should have done this, or why didn't I? And you just feel overwhelmed with those thoughts and those emotions regarding that. And there's other things, the fears, anxieties. And again, sometimes these things just pop up out of nowhere. But those can be fiery darts. And these intrusive thoughts that just can penetrate and can really hamper us and do some great damage. But folks, let's not be alarmed here and just think, oh, all these fiery darts are coming. There's nothing I can do. Oh, yes, there is something we can do. As we stand our ground and start putting on this armor, our loins girt about with truth. All right, we already covered truth. But taking up the shield of faith. So what does the shield of faith do against these fiery darts? Well, I'm going to go back and talk in the literal physical sense in warfare again. What the opposing enemy would do, if fiery darts are being shot at them, they would be prepared. And many of the shields that they used back in the days were wooden, and they would maybe have some iron or steel plated on it to extra protection. But they would soak the wood in water and just soak it maybe different times, several times, whatever the case is, to help defend against the darts that would try to catch the wooden shields on fire. Because if it could penetrate that steel a little bit, that little thin layer of steel or metal and get to the wood, eventually start burning some holes in the wood because they're busy doing all this other stuff, and before they know it, their shield might be on fire. But to quench the fiery darts, to keep those shields soaked in water was very effective. So let's talk about that a little bit. These wooden shields, in a spiritual sense, we have to soak and saturate our spiritual shield in the Word of God. It's continual worship and praise to the Lord. It's in other words, it's soaking and immersing ourselves in the Lord, not just once a week or once a month or a few times a year, but it's daily. Dousing ourselves, immersing ourselves in God's Word, thinking about Him, meditating upon Him, giving praise to Him, where we're connecting with the Lord. And we're fully being soaked, so to speak, from head to toe in a spiritual sense with His Word and with His presence, where those fiery darts, they may be hitting, and they may be sticking, so to speak, but they're not doing any damage. They're not burning us up. They're not destroying us like Satan was desiring it to do, to destroy us. Thank the Lord. And by doing this, by praying and looking to the Lord and saturating ourselves with His Word, it's going to bolster our faith. the more we practice that, the more we realize this is effective. I want to do that some more. And again, thinking of this soaking our shield of faith, so to speak. And again, it's not good enough just to do it once or twice. Yeah, that'll be good for several days or several weeks. I'm good. Folks, it's a daily experience. This is something we do daily. We put on the armor of God daily. It's a daily walk, folks. And you remember the scripture that says, too, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this shield of faith is very important. Do we use it? All right. Now notice, again, the shield of faith, it's something you can hold out in front of you. It's our defense. It's something that we follow behind. And it's not like this wall that we can hide behind. It's something that's movable, all right, that we can protect ourselves at wherever Satan is flinging these fiery darts at. We can use that shield of faith, all right, to defend ourselves. It's not blind faith. God can inspire us and show us how to use that, all right? Again, standing our ground with that shield of faith as these fiery darts are flying. And the shield being used to, if you want to call it, aim at whatever direction the fiery darts are coming from. And to realize this too, that when we're actively using that shield of faith, it's going to help us better understand how to stand our ground. Because God is teaching us, and to think of it this way, the scriptures talk about guiding our steps. You realize even in warfare, God can guide our steps to know which way to turn, which way to pivot, which way to put that shield of faith. And at the same time, we're not running from the battle, but we're standing our ground in the spiritual warfare, realizing that God's going to do his part. It's not my shield of faith that I created. It's taking God's shield of faith that he has provided, and I'm able to stand my ground against the fiery darts that Satan is flinging at me. Thank the Lord we can do that. Now, this third one I want to touch on is, we'll skip past the salvation. We'll talk about the Word of God, mentioned in verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've already touched on that a little bit. But how that grounding ourselves in Christ and in His Word, it provides the protection to our souls and minds that we need. Again, it's enabling us to stand our ground. And there's something so powerful, so comforting, when we actually just stop and take time to read God's Word. It's so powerful. And we read the stories in the Old Testament, the New Testament, of those who exercised their faith in God, and they were taking up their shield of faith in a spiritual sense, and they were standing their ground, and we saw how God defended them, whether it was Joseph of old in the Old Testament, or whether it was David out on the battlefield against Goliath, or the list goes on of the different ones, Gideon, so many that they felt incapable, but through God and his strength, they were able to defeat the enemy. So many times God's people were outnumbered, but yet God gave them the victory. Why? Because they were relying upon his resources, his power and his strength, everything that he provided. Thank the Lord. So again, thinking of this word, God's word, how that it can be so calming and inspiring. And remember, you remember how effective Jesus was in times of temptation? He used the word of God against the devil. And he was victorious. And reminds us too of, as we read his word, I mentioned earlier about continually soaking our shield of faith by covering ourselves with the Word of God. He's able to remind us then of promises in God's Word, such as, if God be for us, who can be against us? And with God, all things are possible. So many other promises that are inspiring to us as we're standing our ground behind that shield of faith, using the word of God to defend against the fiery darts of Satan. And as we're standing on his word and on his promises, that's what helps us stand our ground in spiritual warfare. So I want to conclude with this morning. Remember the scripture in 1 Peter. Read a couple of scriptures here in closing. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You know what, this morning, what's encouraging and inspiring to me is we're all doing this together too. As this last scripture says, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, we're all facing some very similar fiery darts. Some very similar accusations of the devil. Some very similar tricks and methods of deception that the devil's trying to use on us. And yet we have the privilege that we can take up what God has already provided, okay? What he already has available to us, that it's not our armor, it's not our weapons, it's not our strength, it's not our power, it's all the Lord's. And all we have to do is pick it up and use it. Utilize what God has provided us. Again, I'm not producing this armor, I'm not producing these weapons, it's God that supplied all this, and it's our job and responsibility to not even point at others and say, "Hey, you need to pick it up and do this and do that." But Lord, help me for myself. The scripture says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." To pick up these pieces of armor and say, "Lord, how can you help me to apply this today? How can you reveal something out of your word or through your spirit? Speak to me." Just continue dousing the shield of faith with your word and with your presence and with praise to the Lord of everything he's done, and anticipating what God's going to do for me, because I don't know what the next fiery dart's going to be, but the Lord knows, and he knows how to prepare me for that. And he can give us a scripture, a promise, maybe hours or days or weeks in advance. And when that fiery dart shows up later, it's like, the Lord already prepared. He had it right there all along. All I have to do is pick it up and use it. Thank the Lord. And to think of this, folks, that we have this privilege, that we can all participate in the rejoicing shouts of victory. That we can gain the victory in the spiritual warfare by simply standing our ground with everything that God has provided to us. All we have to do is pick it up and use it. And ask the Lord, "Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom how to apply this, how to use this on a daily basis." And just throw ourselves into learning more about the Lord and asking him to reveal more of his truth to us and how to apply it to our personal everyday lives. And God's going to be faithful to do that to us, folks. Don't you know that this morning? That we can, by God's grace, stand our ground in all of this spiritual warfare going on around us. You pray for me that I would be faithful to the Lord. Amen.